Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful night from the state of Florida. It is 29th of May of the year of the Lord, our Lord 2021. And obviously, this is Usama Dakdak with you and with us tonight, as usual, our producer and the best co-host, the one and only one, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Usama, I am doing well and very thankful tonight to be with you. We're looking forward to Memorial Day weekend. And I've been very somber today. You know, a lot of people are celebrating the first day of summer season, tourist season in the South, and that's good. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about those who lost their lives fighting
for our country.
Mm-hmm.
I never believed that the freedom is cheap, because freedom, there is a cost of freedom. And what we enjoy in America, we will not enjoy for a long time because of the changes we're taking this country, as I know for sure you'll be talking about that tonight. And there was a price was paid. I thank God for his love for us as human and for sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And that is the most awesome love for a man to die for his friend or a man to die for his family, but for God Almighty to die for his enemy, those who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." His blood is on us and on our children. And I thank God, because he continued to move on with this plan of salvation, to set us free from our sins, to set us free from death, by allowing his son to take our place on the cross. That is the most awesome sacrifice, for Jesus Christ to die for us, the most wicked, sinful enemy of his. And because he loved us first, now we know about love. Now we love him back. And that's why we have freedom from our own sin, freedom from death. And now we can celebrate life in this world and for eternity. And it's the same with the sacrifice which was given by, I hate to say this, your ancestors, Christy. None of my ancestors died in this country. I am the first generation to come to America from Egypt, and I cannot brag about my ancestors, because none of my ancestors, none of my father, uncle, grandparents, or great-grandparents died for me in this country. But I'm thankful for those who sacrifice and give the ultimate gift, their life, that we can celebrate freedom in America. And once again, sadly, I don't think this will last for a long time. I don't think so.
Well, Usama, one of the things that I think is important for us to remember, and you know, it's interesting because what you're saying about Jesus and about those who sacrificed to die for the United States of America to preserve freedom in the world, really, they helped to save the world, not just the United States. So I just had played a song. I put it on my Facebook page. It's also on End Times in America. And it's my favorite song. And every year when I listen to that song, I it just makes me want to cry. But not just in sadness, but in thanksgiving for the men and women, literally men and women, who've gone into battle and fought for the American ideals and the Constitution. And the song, I'll share the name of it if anyone hasn't gone to my Facebook page. or mm-hmm. End Times in America page. It's called What Did He Die For? And it's a beautiful blending of the thing that you just talked about, how someone went off into war and died to save others. Yeah. And then it also draws that same comparison to Jesus Christ, his son of God, coming and dying in the same way, laying down his life for us. Anyway, it's a beautiful song. It's called What Did He Die For? Twyla Paris recorded this, I don't know, many years ago. Put on.
I do not know that song. Are you going to play it for us tonight or no?
I can't. That's why I'm talking about it, because I'm not sure that it wouldn't violate some kind of broadcast rights that would get us in trouble. I would love to play it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If you can play it, play it. And I will think
I can't.
But here's the truth, Chris.
Let me finish what I'm saying about it quickly, and then I don't want you to forget what you're saying. But the point is, this song was recorded probably closer to 15, 20 years ago, and it's been one of my favorite songs forever. So check it out. What Did He Die For by Twyla Paris. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, while you're talking, Chris, you say that the American people, your ancestor, died not just for the freedom of America, but for the freedom of the world. This rang a big, loud bell in my ears, because that's why the Muslim world hate America. Freedom is the greatest enemy of Islam. Even though they are pretending in America to be the religion of freedom and the religion of peace and religion of love. Do you know if the Muslim world can have freedom for 1 hour, there will not be Islam anymore. Literally, Islam will be wiped out from the face of the earth, because if they will say, okay, in the next hour, anyone will leave Islam will not be burnt to death. I guarantee you, more than half of the Muslim world will say goodbye to Allah and Muhammad. Because these people know they cannot leave. There's no choice. We don't have the freedom. And because in America we have the freedom, the Muslim world hates America. And believe it or not, now we're losing this freedom in America. And that's why the Muslim world will celebrate the destruction of the freedom of America. And they don't want America to ever have freedom. That they want to come to America to control America, to submit America to Allah and Muhammad, Islam, so that we all fall down under the mercy of the leaders of the Muslim in the world. And it is coming. I see it, Christy. Every day, when the liberals are in control of this country, and when the liberals are doing whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, literally, I can go back and forth, right and left, up and down, and I'll assure you, Biden and his team are giving America, and they're giving the whole world to the Muslims, not any Muslims, but the true Muslim believers, whom we call America radical or extreme or fundamental, but they are true Muslim believers, and they are the one who will bring America to its knee. And I believe this is coming because it is the judgment of God on America. No more, no less. We are not celebrating our freedom. We're not holding on to the reason why we're a free country, just submitting slowly as the frog being put to boil. It's exactly, we will be boiled in this country by the hand of the Muslims under the leadership of the useful idiots, the Democrats of this country.
You know, Usama, I don't disagree with you. I do believe that if Christian people, Christians, not talking about sinners. I'm not talking about the Muslims. I'm not talking about people who worship Satan or atheists. I'm talking about if the Christian people who truly believe in Jesus will get on their knees and repent for not standing up for Jesus Christ, for not sharing the gospel with their neighbors, for not making disciples. If the church will humble itself and pray, then, you know, Usama, the situation could be turned around. That is God's promise. I look for that evidence. I look for it among the people who know Jesus, because that is the only solution. It isn't that the Muslims are all going to suddenly decide to back off. And the radicals and Joe Biden, they're not going to suddenly stop what they're doing and say, oh, no, we're destroying America, because they're blind. They're servants of Satan. It's going to be the servants of God that can change this disastrous future. But I want to say just quickly, Usama, when I wrote my book, I worked on this book for over 20 years before it was published in 2004. That book was all about the end of America, the end times in America. And what I know that you know, that we were falling away from faith in God for a long time. But it's time for us now. If we're going to make this turnaround, we need to do it now. And if it's possible that the church will wake up, and I see some great people out there. I really have seen some wonderful people out there sounding the alarm and calling people to repentance. You know, I see it. But is it enough? You know, it's kind of like that question that was asked about Sodom and Gomorrah. If there be 50 righteous, will you spare the city? I'm almost looking around and asking that question, because there are many that we know, Usama, Christians, who are so ignorant of who God is, who the Bible declares him to be. They're so ignorant of that, that they embrace Islam and say it's the same thing. We have the Pope, who is the Green New Deal. That's the God. Let's worship the earth. I mean, you see so many signs that are stupid, but there are people who, I believe, really truly love the Lord, and I'm praying they'll be the ones that can turn it around. But we never know. Every sign that I wrote about in my book, every sign that I wrote about in my book would herald the end of America. Every one of them is going on right now. So
I met with a friend today, and he told me something. I ponder about it. I'm really thought about it for a long time. The last few hours, he said, "I used to believe in God. Now I don't believe there is a God. All religions are falsehoods." I said, wait a minute, how in the world you say you used to believe in God? I mean, you used to know about God, but you not believe in God. You cannot say there is a God and you believe it sincerely deep in your heart, and then a little bit later you change your mind. You can't do that. That's not how it works. You know about God in your head, but he never settled in your heart. Because as we know from the scripture, believers do not lose their salvation. If you are true born again, your name is written in the book of life. But you know what I found out about this specific friend of mine, which I love dearly. I know him now for, 20 some years. And I believe in all these 20 years, I never thought that he is not a believer. But the more I think about it, this is a gentleman who have no problem to drop the F word and the S word and the J word, whatever other, all these ungodly words, all the time. I mean, I always, when I sit with him in a restaurant, I would be embarrassed when there is a waiter or a table close by and he makes these words. And I said, wait a minute. Now it's hit me in my head. I'm thinking back on all these years. He knows about Christianity. He knows about Jesus. He does not know Jesus. Or I can say, he knows Jesus, but Jesus does not know him. Remember the scripture said, Lord, Lord, he said, away from me, you evildoers. I do not know you. His name, I don't think, is written in the book of life. And I said to him today, I said, brother, I love you. You are 90 years old. You don't have long life to live. You better put your priority right. You think you believed in God in the past. You did not. And I said to him, it is very important. If you gain the whole world and lost your soul, you lost everything. You benefit nothing. So I said, well, he said, well, I think I'm okay. I said, no. There's no such a thing as I think I'm okay. Well, I am, and that's when he started talking about he's a good person. He never did anything to harm anybody. He loved peace in the world. His goal before he died, that he'll bring peace to the whole world. Well, guess what? They cry for peace, and there is no peace. We cannot have peace without the sacrifice of Christ. We cannot have the freedom in America, which we have, without the sacrifice of your ancestors. There are plenty of people who died, and because of their bloodshed, because of the sacrifice they gave, their ultimate gift, their life, we can enjoy the freedom we have today. We cannot be free in reality for eternity in Christ unless we have Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what is missing in my friend. He knows about Jesus. He may know Jesus, but I don't believe Jesus knows him. And I pray, guys, you keep this brother, this friend in your prayer, because I'm going to be meeting with him at least a couple more times before I leave Florida. And I hope and I pray, and I hope and I pray that before I leave, his son is a believer, a strong Christian. Another son is a Muslim. I mean, that's
wow.
How terrible this is. So he was fighting to get his son out of Islam, but guess what? He himself are losing the beliefs in God. But I hope and I pray before I leave, because as I told his oldest son, I said, I'm not sure I'm going to see dad alive again. I don't know even when I'm coming to Florida. It could be 6 months from now, a year from now. And he's in agreement with me. So he's praying, and I am praying, and you all pray that somehow the Lord will open the opportunity for me to share a little bit more with him, to reconcile him with Christ before he leaves this world. Because, once again, what man gain if he won the whole world and lost his soul? So pray for this brother that he will find freedom in Christ so we can really celebrate his life here in this world before he leaves us and go to his eternity.
You know, Usama, your friend is not unique. There are young people. There are older people. There are people of every age that are in exactly the same situation. They became accustomed to a routine of going to church and, participating in the Christian community. I call it the Christian community. But they have not received Jesus to be born again. They think being a Christian is about the stuff that you do. It's not about the stuff that you do. It's about being born again into the family of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and allowing him to come and live in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to repent. You have to know that you're not a good person. See, he told you everything that tells you he's lost. Well, I haven't done anything bad. Well, my friends, we have all done things bad. Our thoughts are not right. We might keep our behavior correct, but doesn't mean our thoughts and our hearts are right. We have to seek the Lord for forgiveness, no matter how good you look on the outside. Jesus said there's not any righteous. There's not one person that is righteous except Christ himself. So, you know, this is a problem. People have, because we're, you know, we've come up with a Christian ethic in our country, which is very important. Thank you, God, for that. But the problem is because we're not a Muslim country. We're not a Hindu country. We're not all these other things that people like to say, like Obama. We're a Christian country, but it's caused people to think that because they're in a Christian country and because they go to church and their parents raised them in church, that they're believers, that they're Christians. That's not what being a Christian is. You can be a Christian all alone on a desert island if you know Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, actually not yesterday, the day before yesterday, I was with a friend from New York and here in Florida with his brother. And we actually played the video of Obama when he spoke at that church, the Jeremiah, wrong church. And he said, we're no longer a Christian nation. We're a Jewish nation, Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, and a nation of non-believers. And he said, and if even if we got rid of all the people, we only have just Christians, which Christianity should we practice in our policy? Is it James Dobson Christianity or Al Sharpton? I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. He believed that James Dobson Christianity is one of the types of Christianity. There's only one Christianity, the Christianity of Jesus Christ. And if you think Al Sharpton is a Christian, he needs some help. It's like the devil is a Christian too. Remember, the devil told Jesus, James tells that the devil believe in God and tremble. If Al Sharpton, that evil, wicked Democrat, is a Christian, that means Satan is a Christian too. That means the whole world is a Christian. And I, when I go back and listen to Obama's speech, when he disgraced America by these comments and these statements, and the sad thing, Christy, that was literally 16 years ago, 17 years ago. Until today, many Christian ministers did not respond to that. Until today, most American people in the church, the Christian one in the church, the one you're talking about, the born-again Christian, did not have a clue that Obama said that, and they're not equipped to expose such evil, ungodly claims. America is a Christian nation, even though there's only 50 righteous, as you said earlier, Christy. Maybe it's just because there are 50 righteous Christian, God did not bring his judgment on this country. And soon it is coming. Soon it's coming.
Yes.
I believe it's going to be very bad. And when that day comes, it's going to be a hopeless situation for all those who claim to be a Christian, and all those who mock Christ and Christianity.
Yeah, you know, Usama, we forget that the Bible gives very, very specific things, as Jesus was telling the parable of the 10 virgins. I like to go back to that when I'm talking to my friends. It kind of addresses this same issue. 10 go out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise, but they all went out to meet him. They all went out to meet Jesus, is the parable. But the 5 that were foolish and didn't bring oil, didn't bring enough oil, guess what? They didn't just get delayed. They didn't get set aside for a while. They were cast out. So you better make sure that you know what it is to be born again, to truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ for real, because you're not going to be able to go out there and say, hey, Lord, I've been waiting for you. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these good things for you? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Make sure you know Jesus, just like you said earlier, Usama. I want to share a little bit about Memorial Day. You know, I put up some pictures, and as I was going through these pictures, it was so heartbreaking because you literally see, and I hope you guys watch the slideshow, pictures from back from World War II. I have a picture of my husband, who was in Vietnam, and he wasn't killed there. He's no longer living, but he wasn't killed in Vietnam. But you know, we have people who had friends who were killed on the battlefield in World War II, in Korea, in Vietnam, and they are scarred, just as they were there with their fellow soldiers and lost someone. It is very wounding. I don't know how many of our listeners have lost loved ones and know how much it hurts, but imagine that someone dies in a war and you're there and you're fighting. How hard that is to see someone else fall and you continue to fight and you continue to try to save them. There were some awesome pictures that I found and I put up of one soldier praying with another soldier who was injured. I believe that one goes back to World War II or Vietnam. And then today we still have soldiers fighting, and some pictures of people just full of grief and sorrow because their loved one is now, you know, there's a headstone there, and they're there to honor that person that they lost and that they miss. And so please this Memorial Day weekend while people are celebrating and having a good time because it's the beginning of summer season and vacation time, just please remember those families who are hurting because they lost their loved one fighting for America. And what we're seeing right now is this administration is spitting on the men and women in our military and the families that support them and love them. That's my assessment of it. He's spitting on them. And now they're trying to purge Christians and patriots out of the military, saying they are extremists and dangerous. They're trying to turn our military into a band of people who are gay, transgendered, Muslim. They want to make our military a mockery to the rest of the world. And can you imagine if you have a family member in the military now and they just got rid of a general who said that he believed in the Constitution and he did not want to see critical race theory taught in the military. He said, this is trying to say that our Constitution is a racist document. He said, I swore an oath to defend this Constitution. I swore an oath to defend it, and now you're telling me it's a racist document? Guess what they did?
Yep.
Booted him out.
Well, because, you know it, what's sad is we know as believers, if you look through the scripture, and I guarantee you in your book, you did not say that America will be here as a strong Christian nation when the end of time comes. But we know that America is not mentioned in the Bible to be the great country period anywhere. I mean, there's so many nations the Bible talk about concerning the end of time. Egypt is one. Syria is one. Iraq is one. Russia is one. Turkey is one. China, I believe, is one. But plenty of Christians are going to be here, and they will be strong when Christ comes back, when the end of time comes. But I don't think America is one, a strong nation. So,
well,
to
I'm going to tell you.
Disappear, yeah,
well, I'm going to have to tell you because you didn't read my book. I do believe America is a nation in the end of time. I believe it's Mystery Babylon. And I believe the Bible clearly spells it out and the judgment that will come on this nation because of two things. We abandon the Lord Jesus Christ and we abandon Israel. And that will bring the judgment on
America
us. But I do believe it.
Okay, let me say that. I make sure that I am right on this on the talk here. America will not be a strong nation militarily, economically, morally, spiritually. None of that will be here. Am I right?
I disagree with you on this point. I believe we will be a strong nation, but God will allow us to be destroyed. But that will be.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Christy. America
will be
destroyed from within.
Well.
Why you disagree with me when I'm saying the same thing you're saying?
America
will not be the greatest country in the world like we are today.
No,
America will be demolished.
But it won't. Well, never mind. It's very involved, and I wrote about it, and I talk about it a lot. But I am
let me put this
we'll
way.
Be strong
America is,
until.
It's cool. Pharaoh, you know what Pharaoh is when you start going down, 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 smaller circle?
I don't see it like that. I see us coming up to judgment of God and being...
That's exactly what I'm saying, Christy Johnson. When God judgment come on this country, it will be wiped out. It will be run by gay and lesbian in the White House and the Muslims. Is that it?
No.
That's how you describe America to be a great country?
Usama, I don't agree that that's how it will happen, but I'm not God, and I just...
Christy, in the next four and in the next 3 years, we will be $60 trillion in the hole. How can you tell me when you don't have enough money to pay the interest on your debt that America will be strong economically? How can you do that? Let me talk it morally. America will persecute the Christian, will throw them in prison, like we hear about in Canada, openly. we're going to be locked up in prison, and they will be control freaks. The government will be so big that they will control freaks, the Christian people, as much as worth as Saudi Arabia to the Jews and the Christian in the history of Islam. Will this make America a strong country? And I can go on and on what's coming to America. If this Biden and his team continue to run this country and they steal the election in a year and a half from now, the next midterm election 2022, trust me, America will be no more. If you think Venezuela is a great country, then we are in agreement. America will be a great country because America will be Venezuela on steroids now. 10 times worse than Venezuela.
Usama, I believe the destruction of Mystery Babylon is explained in a different way, and it's all right. I'm not saying we'll be a great Christian country. I am saying we will think that we're strong, and people will say, okay, yeah, everything's okay, because we're going to be going along with a worldwide government, and that's what's being pushed on us. So people could be deluded and think that it's okay for all these socialism and all this stuff to come along because it's good to other people. I am trying to say that we don't necessarily have to disintegrate before Jesus returns. I think that what the scripture says is that...
We're saying the same thing, Christy Johnson. We're saying the same thing. What I'm saying...
But when you say goes down like
words.
A drain is... I know, but that is like we're just going to go to a slow decline. I don't believe that. I think it's going to be sudden destruction coming. Just as it says,
you don't think America is already going down in the last 4 months?
Spiritually,
you don't think America has been destroying?
Okay, when the Bible says is fallen, that's like there's a spiritual fall, and then comes a destruction fall. But the spiritual stuff is going on now. It's getting worse now. Yes, you can fall away spiritually, and then the result is
evil. Are we falling down morally?
If you're spiritually falling, you're going to be morally falling. Then what happens is you turn your back on the Lord, you turn your back on Israel, you turn your back on your fellow people. Yes, all that can happen. But it doesn't...
Economically, are we falling down economically the last 4 months?
Okay. In my book, Usama, I said that one of the ways the Antichrist would take over the world, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I said 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the horseman on the black horse is not famine. It is economic control. I said that 40 years ago. Economic control. Yeah. We're going to be under the economic destruction. Yes. And we're seeing it. That's why I said all the things that I had talked about are happening.
Okay.
This is just one of the aspects.
But don't forget,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
But also Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 that there will be famine, there will be diseases, there will
yes.
be earthquakes, there will be
and that's all
hurricanes, and name it. All is coming.
Exactly, Usama, but this is all different aspects of the end time. Why is it happening like it is? I believe it's because God's trying to get people's attention to cause them to repent because the coming of Christ is sure. The return of Christ is sure, but the judgment of God on every human being is sure. You can sit there and say, well, Jesus may not come back for 200 years. Well, you're not living for 200 years. I'm not living for 200 years. Even my baby granddaughter isn't going to live for 200 years.
Christy, you're almost 200 years. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah, I know, sure. But you get my point. We all have to be brought to repentance. And as we see these things going wrong in our country and in the world and this diseases and earthquakes, which we just had a not a good one that just happened here recently. I mean, there are so many earthquakes that happen. It's unbelievable, honestly. The earth is like trembling all the time. But the bad ones...
Yeah.
Yes, they're going to increase. We're going to see a lot of these mm-hmm. things, but every time we see it, it should be a reminder that the Lord says, look, I'm coming. Don't get neglectful. You don't have a life.
Yeah.
You're not going to live for 300 years. You need to be ready now. I mean, I don't yeah. think we disagree, Usama, but...
You know, the one thing I believe, since we are celebrating Memorial Weekend Day
yes.
here and celebrating the death of all these soldiers, I believe the one thing the liberals hate more than anything is our military. They hate our policemen. They hate our
yes.
every man in uniform, literally. I'm not saying they dislike. I'm talking about they hate. So the best way to destroy America with those who are already sacrificed so much is get rid of the godly one among them.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
is change the rules to make it weak from within. So think about all the changes the Biden administration and Obama, by the way, before that, he did the same thing.
I know.
About this is Obama's third term. Is this going deeper and deeper? I think Biden and his team already met with Obama, and they know exactly what they're doing to have third term for Obama. And who knows? Kamala Harris will maybe bring the fourth term of Obama. And
well, Obama and Hillary combined aren't as bad as what we're seeing coming out of Obama. I mean, Biden. But, you know, Usama, I do believe, and that was something else, which I won't get into, but I had, if you read Daniel chapter 8, it kind of gives some insight into what's going on. I think I sent you that article, but I'm sure you never had time to read it. But I sent it to some people. It's in my book, but I kind of updated it and really talking about how we're going to be under leadership. We don't even know who it is. We don't even know who's in charge. And that's where we are right now. We have so many things happening in this country, and you look around and ask a question, who came up with this stupid idea? You know it was someone that hates America, but the question is who? Who came up with this stupid idea? And, you know, was it the president? Well, mostly I don't think of President Biden. I don't even think of him as the president. But if you want to say President Biden thought this up, I will laugh. He didn't think up anything. Who came up with this stuff?
The man have no clue where he's at.
So we
he's sleeping tonight in the White House, and you ask him, where are you at, Mr. Biden? He said, I'm in my basement in my house, isn't it? He does not have a clue what he's doing. He is gone. He's just used as a rubber stamp. Everybody carry him in and stamp it and sign it.
So think about it. Did you ever think in America that people would come up with ideas so completely, completely divorced from the Constitution? Did you ever think that could happen? And then you would be sitting here going, who came up with this? Whose idea was this? But, you know, you can look at Nancy Pelosi. You can look at Chuck Schumer. You can look at I learned a lot about our vice president, Kamala Harris. She has a very weird history. If anyone wants to know more about it, I've suggested this a lot of times. OAN has an investigative reports on the weekends. They have one on Kamala Harris. You need to see that. I mean, it makes you wonder how much worse off we could be if Joe Biden has to leave office or dies in office and she becomes president. It will not be any better. It might even be worse. This is a person with no integrity at all and very, very little to indicate that she has the knowledge, the skills, or anything required of a president. They couldn't have picked a worse vice president. She would just be puppet number two. So So
you know,
who is running things? Think about it.
When Obama was president, he picked up Joe Biden for his vice president. You know why? Because Joe Biden is the worst vice president you can ever have. Now, we got the worst vice president become a president, which I will never call him a president. This is the office
yeah.
he's holding. And he picked up the worst vice president. How low are you going to go? How low are you going to go?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not lower than that.
Well, this is why it's a puppet government, and sad to say, they are doing everything they can. I honestly believe that this is all inspired by the Antichrist spirit. This is all being supported and manipulated by those who choose to destroy America for their own reasons. The Communist Party, the Chinese Communists, the Iranians, the people who hate America and want to see us taken down. But all of that could be come under one title, and that is the Antichrist spirit that wants to create a world government that will dominate and control and manipulate and destroy as many Christians and Jews as it can. That's the prophecy. So, you know, we're seeing all these things coming together, and it is the Antichrist spirit. We have fought this spirit off before. I believe that's a spirit that controlled Hitler. You know, when you think about this, this is not new. There have been dictators and vicious rulers throughout history. The United States of America is really very unique. The United States and Israel are the unique examples of nations in the world. So, yeah, dictators, vicious, savage people, they usually win. They usually win over people who are just average, you know, want to just live their life and take care of their family, because they are savage and vicious. That's why we need the Spirit of the Lord, and we need courage and faith to stand up for what's right. It's not easy. But, you know, my friend and I were talking. How did Jesus battle against Satan? By the Word of God. He said, "It is written." And if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't get down on your own to look at the Word of God and the Bible to understand what it has to strengthen and give you courage and faith, you need to do that, because that is how you're going to fight this battle. It's going to be by the Word of God. It is written. And if we will stand on that, no matter what happens to us, even if we end up being killed and the nation goes down the drain, we're still standing up against Satan, and we still can win, because Jesus Christ has given us already the victory over death, even. You still there?
Yes, I am here. I am still here. Absolutely. I am listening, and I'm thinking and listening. The number of Christians, or those who claim to be a Christian in America, who do no longer believe in the Bible to be the Word of God, is growing every day from 20 to 40 to 60, 67%, whatever the number it is. I believe within the next 10 years, it will be even less and less. We're literally copying the pattern which is made by those who claim to be a Christian in Europe. Do you know that over 90% of the ministers, these are the priests and the pastors and the church leaders in Europe, do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. So how in the world are you going to win the battle against the devil?
We don't even have
the tool or the weapon, which is the only weapon you can use to win against the battle. You don't believe in the Word of God, which is the only hope for Christian to win the battle against the devil and his team. There's only two teams. There's team Jesus and there's team devil. Well, Team Jesus are empowered and strengthened by the word of God, the Bible, the word of Jesus, as you said. And sadly, that team is shrinking because obviously they were not there. If they are with us, they would have stayed with us. If they are with us, they cannot be against us. That is Jesus' own word, Jesus' own teaching to his disciples when they try to stop other believers from preaching in the name of Jesus. And he said, well, they're not with us. And Jesus said, no, if they are with us, they cannot be against us. Why do you stop them? But what I'm trying to say is this. The number of those who claim to be a Christian are really what Jesus said. Narrow is the road, and few are the one who go through the truth. This is the reality, even though it seemed like throughout the years there's a plenty of Christian in America. Well, I'm sorry. In God we trust. It's only the language of the crisis time. Because believe it or not, in crisis, everybody believes in God. So yeah. September 11, yes, in God we trust. But after September 11 is gone, I don't know who we trust in. Do we trust in ourselves? Do we trust in our strength and our might? Or we trust in God? Obviously, there are the born-again Christians. There are the true believers who trust in nothing else but in God, because we cannot lean on our own self. We cannot lean on our own understanding, but we only lean on Christ and his truth, which is his word. So I think it is good sometimes to put the different materials we have in fire, where the wood will burn, the paper will burn, the plastic will melt, and the gold will be pure, pure, the more you put on the fire. And I think that's exactly what is coming, not just to America, but to the church around the world. I know for sure how strong the church in China or in Egypt or in Iran or in Turkey under persecution. I wonder, will this be the same in America when we really, really get persecuted here? Or what is coming to this country? I have no clue.
You know, Usama, you're exactly right when you talk about the few who are believing. This is a poll done by George Barnum. This is under the Christian Post Reports. Family Research Council has done this survey. 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. 6%. That's very pitiful for a country when we say we are a Christian country. 6% have a biblical worldview. And a lot of this starts, as we've talked about many times, when you send your kid out the door to go to a public school and they're told, well, you can't pray. Well, you can't bring your Bible. Well, you know, the Bible isn't really correct because, you know, it teaches that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Oh, well, you know, that's crazy. It's to undermine everything about a biblical worldview, and it's been going on for many years. And Christians have, by and large, let it go. And that is sad, because now we're getting the harvest of these kids who've come up in the last, let's say, 30 years, and their view of the world is not a biblical worldview at all. And they disregard the Bible because it has so many mistakes, so many errors, so many things in it that can't possibly be true. That's how they look at it. And I know I talk to a lot of young people, and I want to say I'm praising God. My granddaughter and my grandson-in-law, I believe, are coming to church with me not tomorrow, but the next week, because he's going to be able to be off on Sundays. And I'm telling you, if you have family members, just like this friend of Usama's, that you don't know that they truly know who Jesus Christ is, that they truly are born again, and that Jesus knows them, this is a time to get busy and share that message with your friends and family. And you know what? If they're already saved and you realize, wow, I'm so glad they know Jesus, you know what you need to tell them? share this with other people. Share this with others. That's how it always was supposed to be. It was always supposed to be you share in your family, you share with your friends, and then they share with others as well. And guess what? If you find out that they're not saved, how thankful you will be that you have a chance to truly share with them before it's too late. You know, what I've always, I had this little joke I used to say, you know, how sad it would be that you get to heaven and you see people there that say to you, oh, wow, I didn't know you were a Christian. This is your testimony that you knew them and you never shared that the gospel is, with them, but they never knew you were saved. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that. And I've thought a lot about this as we're thinking about people who died in these wars, people who are suffering because they've lost loved ones. Even in this pandemic, are they going to see their loved ones again? You know, this is a situation. We got to get serious. It's about life and death. It's about eternity. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Well, Christy, I don't know what else you have on your agenda for tonight, but you are the producer. What else do you want to talk about? Because I really still would like to talk a little bit about the Quran and
yes.
the great external evidence. It is not the Word of God as we continue, but I don't want to jump on it. If you have anything else you want to share with our audience for tonight.
Well, I wanted to just share quickly some of the things that are going on around the world, because we have seen an outbreak of attacks against the Jewish nation, against the Jewish people, against Christians all over the world. And we knew this would come if Biden was put in office. I won't say he was elected because I don't believe he was. But if he was put in office, we knew these things would come. So we have many people around the world who are suffering persecution, even in places where it wasn't going on, just, you know, under President Trump. So we see that Muslims are literally rising up in Uganda. Now, Uganda was a place, the first time I ever heard about Islam, and I didn't know much about it. In fact, I knew very little, and there wasn't much information available. But there was a man in Uganda named Idi Amin, and he was slaughtering people all over the place. I didn't find out until years later, when I began to understand what Islam was, that he was a Muslim. But there hadn't been a lot of attacks against Christians in Uganda for a number of years. But in this one, this story is Uganda Muslims torch the house of a Christian widow. Muslim hardliners in eastern Uganda have reportedly torched the home of a Christian mother of five whose husband was already beheaded for his faith in Christ. America,
yep.
Are we going to go there? God knows, I pray we don't. But we are no reason that our people should be any less subject to this kind of brutality. Is it because we're all such a moral country? Look at the craziness going on in America, where you can't even put a birth certificate, male or female, on a birth certificate because you've allowed yourself to be convinced that people are whatever they think they are. They might not be a male, even though they were born as a boy. I mean, it's just, we've lost it, people. We've lost it. Anyway, in Burkina Faso, militants have killed 15 Christians who were at a baptismal service. Thousands of people there, 15 Christians were killed and thousands were fleeing for their lives. So we know some people there that have been doing ministry in Burkina Faso, and now all of a sudden it's gotten so much worse. We know there's been killings going on in Nigeria. There's now Christians being killed in clashes in the Sudan. Extremists, and I believe in this case, it may have been, I don't know if it was Muslims or Hindus. Hindus have suddenly turned on Christians. And a pastor was killed in India because there has been anti-Christian violence going on there. And the Myanmar army attacked the church, a Catholic church, and killed four people.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
you know what,
Christine, just,
this is reality, by the way, for all the history of Islam for the last, you know, 1,400 years. The sad thing is, we did not know about it here in America because we did not have the access to this land and this country. But with the technology we have today, we can see the smoke coming out of the churches in Egypt and everywhere else around the world. But the sad thing is now we're becoming a politically correct country, a political correct nation, and we don't want to say anything to upset the Muslims who have not burned America yet, who have not beheaded the Americans yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend that nothing is wrong, everything is fine, and we can, if somebody mentioned, well, these are just the radicals, the extremists, or the fundamental, whatever words you're going to use. But then I have to warn the American people saying, you harvest what you plant. If you can see the Christian are persecuted all over the Muslim world, even in China, it's amazing. The last few months, everybody talk about Muslim being persecuted in China. I mean, even Fox News and One American News and all of them are talking about the Muslim persecution in China, but I never heard anybody talk about the Christian persecution in China, which exists as long as they were Christian in China.
Yes, but you know what? It's gotten worse in China as well against Christians, and very little has been reported there. Although there is a story here, again, another great news source is the Worthy News, and they put out information about persecution all over the world, including China. But you're right. The Chinese government, this is one of their articles, the Chinese government continues a campaign to harass and imprison Christians. This is a report as of May 24th, increasing persecution against Christians in China. And this is the last one I want to mention because it talks about Israel. The lies that have been told about the Palestinians, and I know I didn't send this article to you yet, but I posted it in the slideshow. I'll just read it for you. But here it says, support for Israel among young U.S. evangelical Christians drops sharply, according to a new survey. This is a huge problem. Christians dropping their support for Israel. And let me tell you the lies that have been told that have helped that. And this is one that I saw this report on. It was either on OAN or Real America's Voice. But let me just tell you a little bit about it. You saw my, I didn't get it sent to you. I know you were really busy and didn't get a chance to look at everything that I had posted. Wait a minute, where is it? Whoop. Oh, shoot, now I can't find it. There's a Muslim man whose name is... Well, I'm going to have to do that next week. I thought I had posted it in the slideshow. I think it is in the slideshow. But since I can't find it to read it, he had just given all this information about how they invented the myth of the Palestinian people. And he said, this is a Muslim man who was a leader at the time. He's has since passed away, saying, you know, they created this myth about the Palestinians in order for one thing to be able to delegitimize the existence of Israel and to fight against the establishment of Israel. And he says they created this, made it up, and the people that are in supposedly living in supposedly the Palestinian territories are not Palestinians at all. They just put them out. Oh, here's the story. I did find it. Zuhair Mohsin. He was born in 1936, died in 1979, was a Palestinian leader of the Syrian-controlled Palestinian Liberation Organization. The Palestinian people do not exist. This is quoting him. The creation of a Palestinian state is only a means for continuing our struggle against the state of Israel for our Arab unity. In reality today, there's no difference between Jordanians, Palestinians, Syrians, and Lebanese. Only for political and tactical reasons do we speak today about the existence of a Palestinian people, since Arab national interests demand that we oppose the existence of a posit the existence of a distinct Palestinian people to oppose Zionism. Yes, the existence of a separate Palestinian identity exists only for tactical reasons. Jordan, which is a sovereign state with defined borders, cannot raise claims to Haifa and Jaffa, while as a Palestinian, I can undoubtedly demand Haifa, Jaffa, Beersheba, and Jerusalem. However, at the moment, we reclaim all right to all Palestine. We will not even wait a minute to unite Palestine with Jordan. If they have it all, it's just going to all be part of Jordan. There is a excuse they have made to fight against Israel. I thought that was very telling.
Let me add something, Christy, if you don't mind. Even after the creation of the Palestinian state, the Egyptian, the Jordanian, and the Assyrian refused to accept half of the land for the Palestinians. And they thought that they will go to war, as we mentioned this in our study, Lies and Textbooks, to perform jihad for Allah, to kill the last Jew, so they will have the whole entire land. That is why we have the problem. Even though it was made up, the existence of the Palestinians, half of the land, but they will not take even half. And if you ask any pastor, how much land, and I said this before, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, how much of the land will you take to have peace with Israel? They will tell you the last square foot where there is the last Jew standing on. They want to kill the last Jew to take the entire land, and that is their ultimate goal. End of story.
You know, Usama, you are exactly right. You've been talking about this for years, and I will tell you today, on Real America's Voice, there's a program. The host is Aubrey Shines. Aubrey Shines. If people can see that tomorrow, he goes into all this that you were just talking about, and that's where I heard this report on this Palestinian. So the truth is coming out. People are talking about it. That's the side of hope. But there's another side. And trust me, the enemy seems to be much more coordinated in his tactics than those who know the Lord. But we pray. Anyway, Usama, that's it that I had for us. And I want to thank all of those who have lost loved ones in war and for all those who fought for our country. And all those who love Jesus and know that he did the same thing for us. So praise God.
Amen. Well, we are in our study, Christy, in the hogwash or the propaganda or the fairy tale of Abraham in the Quran. And I know Abraham is a very important character because in Abraham we see the unity. between the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, because these are the three branches, as Muslims in the West claim, of the three Abrahamic religions. Nonsense whatsoever. But do you remember where we stopped last time, Christy?
Yeah, I believe we went through Quran 11, 69 through 75, and that was the story of Abraham. And then we were going to Quran 12. I believe that's where we're headed. Let's look at 11.
In 12, obviously, it is in 12, there's only a couple of verses which does not say much. But for the fun of, you know, covering chapter 12, if you don't mind, Christy, go to Quran chapter 12, verse 6, and then Quran chapter 12, verse 38. So verse 6 and verse 38 of Quran chapter 12, which the name Abraham is mentioned, not because there's any information there, but this is just how Muhammad does. He just squeeze a name here, squeeze a name there to create more sentence and to tie the biblical stories or biblical account in his pages of the Quran. So Quran chapter 12, the story of Joseph, we already talked about it years ago, and verse 6, what do we have here?
And likewise, your Lord will choose you and will teach you the interpretation of the sayings and will fulfill his grace on you and on the family of Jacob as he fulfilled it before on your fathers Abraham and Isaac. Surely your Lord is knowing wise.
Well, who's speaking here? It is Jacob. Speaking to who? Speaking to Joseph. How old was Joseph when he was speaking to him? A little boy. I guess 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. He's a little boy. As his brothers want to take him with them to play and enjoy the weather, enjoy the sun, enjoy the sheep in the field. And Jacob was worried about this, that he will get distracted and a wolf will eat him. I'm talking about a wolf eat a little boy. 3, 4, 5 years old. So he is telling him that you will be interpreting the saying. He meant interpreting the dream. How in the world Jacob is talking to his son and he said, and fulfill his grace on you as and on the family of Jacob. Why not say my family? If it's Jacob speaking, he say myself, my family, your brothers. And then he says, as he fulfilled on your fathers before Abraham and Isaac. How can Abraham and Isaac be the fathers of Joseph? He says, his grandfather and great-grandfather, for heaven's sake. Nonsense. Okay, let's move on to chapter 12 and verse 38.
Okay. And I follow the religion of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and it was not for us to partner with Allah anything. This is a favor from Allah on us and on the people, but most people do not give thanks.
Who is speaking here? Joseph. Speaking to who? To the Egyptians. Now, in the true biblical account, Joseph did not talk about these things, but Muhammad made it up. Remember in the scripture when it says you don't add and you don't take away. And that's exactly what Muhammad did in every story. I mean, we're talking about the story of Jacob, of Joseph. And here we go. He's adding stuff. And he's obviously took so much out of the true account in Genesis account to the Quran. But all what we got there is the name Abraham as one of the fathers of Joseph. That is what we got. Now I want to go to the book of Abraham, believe it or not. That is chapter 14. The name of the chapter is Abraham. And you may think, Christy, if you're going to read the whole chapter by the name Abraham, you'll have the whole story. You'll have all the information you need. But guess what? That's not the case. So, I do not know where we're going to start here, but let me say, Let's start with verse 35, Quran chapter 14 and verse 35, as we're going to hear, Abraham is speaking about the city of Mecca, which obviously no truth whatsoever. Abraham never been to Mecca, and Abraham and Ishmael never been to Mecca. Yes, the children of Abraham from his wife Keturah, the Arab ancestors, went to Mecca as he lived in Mecca and everywhere else in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, the land of the East. But Abraham himself made up story. So, Quran chapter 14, the book of Abraham, and let's read 55.
And when Abraham said, "My Lord, make this country secure and protect me and my children, lest we serve the idols."
Excuse me. Did you know that Abraham already served idols? Did you know that Abraham and his family, all of them, worship idols in the land of the Kildanim, in the city of the Kildanim? What is this? What is this made up? It's like Muhammad or whoever tell him the story to write the story in the Quran. We're not very familiar with the true account of Abraham.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in the Quran itself, it says that the family of Abraham worship idols. That's why he breaks their idols. Anyway, so let's keep going a little bit, if you don't mind.
36.
Yes, ma'am.
"My Lord, they have surely led astray many of the people. So whoever follows me, so surely he is from me. And whoever disobeys me, so surely you are forgiving, merciful."
Is Abraham telling us that the people who worship these idols as good are good as Allah is good? I mean, we read in the Quran, Allah leads astray whom he will.
Yeah.
Not that Allah in the that he will fill hell with those whom he will lead astray from the men and from the jinn. So what difference does it make if Allah leads people astray or those people lead people astray? But I love it how Muhammad is making Abraham speaking softly and tenderly about Allah by saying that he is forgiven and merciful. Keep going. Next verse.
Okay. "Our Lord, surely I have caused some of my offspring to dwell in a valley which has no plants, near to your forbidden house, O our Lord, so that they may perform the prayer. So make the hearts of the people therefore to yearn toward them and provide them from the fruit. Perhaps they may be thankful."
What does Muhammad mean here by when Abraham said, "some of my descendants"? Some? It is the true understanding of the passage, according to Muslim scholars, it is his son, Ishmael, not some. Some is what? Three or more?
Yeah.
It was just one kid, Ishmael. And by the way, when you read the story, which is made up by Muhammad, you can't help but to laugh. Because according to the story, the Quranic story, the methodology of Muhammad concerning Ishmael, that Abraham, for some reason, took Hagar and his son Ishmael and dropped them in that city. And he was about to leave. And Hagar looked at Abraham and said, "Oh, Abraham, will you leave us here alone? There's nobody here." He ignored her and kept going. "Oh, Abraham, there's no water, there's no food. How do you expect to survive here?" And he just kept walking away. "Oh, Abraham, did Allah ask you to do that?" He turned around. He said, "Yes." Then she smiled and she said, "Then surely Allah will take care of us." What a fairy tale story. Because believe it or not, in the biblical account, we know that Sarah was not very happy with Ishmael mocking her son Isaac. And she told him, "Get rid of that boy and his mother." And it was so hard for Abraham to do so, because obviously Ishmael is still his son. And then we know from the biblical story that he took food, both on her shoulder, and a can of water, and he sent them away to the land of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, it is, that's where she got lost. It is, if you leave in Israel and you go into Egypt, not in Mecca, not in Saudi Arabia, There's no reason for him to go all the way down there. She's Egyptian. She took her son back to Egypt. And as we continue with the biblical account, Ishmael married a wife. And guess what? She's Egyptian. And then he got 12 sons. We know their names. And they are known to be the Ishmaelites. And we know from Genesis 25 where they live. They live between Havilah, which is in front of Egypt, and all the way to Assyria. No such a thing as Ishmael was left behind in Mecca, and Abraham is praying to Allah to make people tender towards him and bless him with fruit. Fruit? What kind of fruits we have inside Arabia and Mecca? We got dates, and we got dates, and we got dates. What kind of fruit is this, Chris? Do we have banana there? No. Do we have apples there? No. Do we have strawberries there? No. Do we have orange there? No. What kind of fruit we have besides dates?
I think it would be dates.
But did Allah answer the prayer of Abraham and provide his family with anything besides dates?
I don't know that there's any evidence of that.
It is ridiculous, Christy. It is ridiculous. But anyway, what's the next verse, ma'am?
Okay. Our Lord, surely you know what we hide and what we reveal, and there is nothing hidden from Allah on earth, neither in heaven.
Wow. That's a new information. I did not know that Abraham shared about Allah, that Allah knows everything. Well, there's so much contradiction in the Quran, because in other places we found out Allah did not know, and he found out later. But that's okay. That's why we call Allah the God of perhaps, because he does not know. Truthfully, Allah, the God of Muhammad, does not know. In many cases, he does not know. He himself tells us perhaps this, perhaps that. Next man.
Yeah, God of perhaps. The praise be to Allah who has granted me in my old age Ishmael and Isaac. Surely my Lord is the hearer of the calling.
Well, good. Next.
My Lord, make me the performer of prayer and from my offspring, our Lord, and accept my calling.
Did Abraham ever said these prayers anywhere in the Bible? No. How in the world Muhammad knows it? I mean, can you imagine? Muhammad does not know the A and B and C of Abraham. He does not know any. He does not know the real name of Abraham's daddy. He called him Azar, which in the Bible is
there. Right.
And it's amazing. Even though he does not know the simple facts about Abraham, he's given us this wonderful prayer. How did Muhammad know that Abraham prayed that prayer? Oh, Jibril told me, really? Because Abraham did not pray that prayer anywhere at all. Let's keep going. What else come after that?
Our Lord, forgive me and my parents and to the believers when the day of reckoning will arise.
I thought Abraham's father will burn in hell forever because he's a bad dude. Why does Abraham ask Allah to forgive his sin for any reason? Why Allah will ask Abraham? I mean, why Abraham will ask Allah to forgive his parents?
Yeah, that is weird. And do not think that Allah is unaware of what the unjust do. Surely he only delays them until a day which the eyes will look in it.
Man. Keep going with his prayer.
Hastening forward, their heads upraised, their gaze does not return to them, and their hearts air vacant.
Man.
And warn the people. Oh, I'm sorry.
Keep going. No, keep going. Just
and
keep going
warn the people of a day the torment comes to them. So the unjust will say, our Lord, delay us for a near time. We will answer your call. And we will follow the messengers. Were it
so,
not...
So Abraham, So whoa, Chrissy. So Abraham is asking Allah to do things. Who's God now? Is Abraham the God or God is Abraham? I mean, why Abraham is asking Allah to warn the people about the torment? How in the world Abraham knows what's coming in the future too? Who is that? It's just a set of words to make sentence, to make poetry, to make another page in the Quran? Did really Abraham said our Lord warn the people? Who's going to warn the people, Abraham or God? And will Allah obey Abraham? Keep going, Christy.
Let's see. Were it not that you swore before, there is no ceasing of existence for you.
They're going to be in hell forever. Keep going.
And you dwell in the dwelling of those who were unjust to themselves, and it has appeared clear to you how we dealt with them. And we put forth to you the parables.
In the entire Quran, there is not one parable.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. And indeed, they deceive their deception, and their deception is with Allah, and their deception was such that the mountains would pass away.
Man, Abraham is so smart. Abraham knows about the deception of those people. By the way, can you tell me whom he's talking about here so far and all that? Who Abraham is talking about? Who are the people he's talking about?
I have no clue.
Good luck, because Muslim scholar would disagree. They will tell you 10 opinions. Next verse.
So do not think that Allah will fail his promise to his messengers. Surely Allah is dear, a possessor of revenge.
Amen. Keep going.
A day the earth will be changed into another earth and the heavens, and they will go forth to Allah, the one, the dominant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And you will
will
see the criminals on that day linked together in chains. Their serbal will be of a...
That is the clothes you wear, serbal. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Will be of Katiran rain. I don't know what that is. What is that?
Yeah.
And fire will cover their faces. What is the other one? I can click on it. Hold on a second. Pitch.
Yeah.
It will be of pitch. I guess that's till the fire can burn, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That Allah may reward every soul for what it earned. Surely Allah is swift in the reckoning.
Mm.
This delivered to the people. Oops, I'm sorry.
Read the last verse, ma'am.
This delivered to the people, and let them be warned by it, and that they may know that he is only one God, and to remind the ones with understanding.
Can you imagine with me, Christy? This is the chapter in the Quran, chapter 14, which is named after Abraham. Can you tell me what did you learn about Abraham from that chapter?
Not much. He said all this stuff.
Which he never anything in it in the real life of Abraham, according to
right,
the
Right, it's just, I didn't learn anything.
Jumble, made up stuff.
Yeah.
And we got the story of Abraham.
Hey.
His chapter in the Quran, which is known to be the book of Abraham, chapter 14. What a joke. How in the world can you tell me that this is a true revelation? This is exactly how we learn from the Quran about Abraham. Nonsense whatsoever. All right, let's move on. We still have enough time to do a little bit more, a couple more chapters. Chapter 15, Christy. Chapter 15 And we're going to learn a little bit more about Abraham.
Okay.
Now, this is a biblical story, of course. We know that it was copied from the Bible, and it's repeated, as Muhammad always do. He likes something from the Bible, and he repeats it over and over again. Chapter 15 and chapter 15 and beginning from verse 51.
Okay, let me get to 51. Okay, and inform them about Abraham's guest.
Okay,
when they...
now we're talking about the three angels in Genesis chapter 18. Go ahead.
Right, where Lot, okay, yeah. The story of Abraham and Lot copied from the Bible. Okay. When they entered into him, so they said, peace. He said, surely we are afraid of you. They said.
Wait a minute. Here is the three angels who came to Abraham and they said, peace. And Abraham said, he did not say peace to you too. No, we're afraid of you. What is that? Are you sure, Abraham, you're afraid of us? Because you have to understand, Abraham at the time, he had hundreds of men. He had hundreds of strong men. Why Abraham, with his strength and his might, in one battle, we have just before that, remember when Lot was taken, when there was war, and Lot and his family were taken, and Abraham took 318, one of his young men, fighters. And he attacked these five kings, and he brought everything back. Why a man would have 318 strong men, more than that, of course, afraid of three guys? Why even Muhammad says that in the Quran? But keep going. Go ahead.
They said, do not be afraid. We give you the good news of a boy full of knowledge.
Wow. So Abraham sees the three guys. And says, Salaam alaikum. Well, I'm afraid of you. Don't be afraid. You're going to have a small young boy. What is that? Are we missing a few chapters between verses 52 and 53, Chris? Are we missing anything there?
Yeah. Like, what's going on?
But don't laugh. Don't laugh. Next verse.
He said, did you give me the good news when the old age has touched me? So by
another thing,
what?
By the way. Well, Chris, the funny thing about Allah in the Quran, when the visitors went to meet with Abraham and talk with Abraham, there's three or more of them. Of course, from the Quran, you do not know how many. But we know there's plural. Plural means three or more. Could be 10, could be 50, could be a million, okay? Three in the Bible. And they all speak together at the same time. They said. I mean, can you imagine talking to three or more people and they all speak at the same time? That would literally scare the daylight out of you. I mean, use the imagination. Have
That's
you ever
weird.
Seen Superman? I know I talk about that many times.
No.
And you see in the beginning, Superman, the seven people, whatever, they're standing there, and they're all speaking in the same time. You say the same words. That's like Hollywood, but it is Holly Allah in the Quran, okay? Go ahead, Chris.
So by what good news do you bring? They said, we gave you the good news with the truth, so do not be of the despairers.
Yeah.
He said, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who have gone astray?
Okay,
he said,
he's going to be on the right track. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, what did you come here for, O messengers?
Wait a minute. I thought they came to tell him he's going to have a wise young man.
Yeah.
Why he's asking that question? See, Muhammad want to get to the story of Lot, but he does not know how to say it. Is it in the Bible? He asked about why you're here, or in the Bible, God said, I will not hide from my servant Abraham what I'm about to do. The third angel, two angels, blood Jesus Christ, is the one who started the conversation, Christy Johnson. Go to Genesis 18 and read it. He said, that Jesus, the reincarnation, Jesus said, I will not hide from my servant ever what I'm about to do. You know what? Let me open the Bible. I'll show it to you. Well, it's very simple. Because I'm sorry, Muhammad heard the story. He want to make it up again. He does not know how to do it and get himself in deep trouble. He get himself in deep trouble. They go to Genesis account, okay, Old Testament, Genesis account. And let's go to chapter 18, I believe. That's where we read the entire story of the visitors of Abraham. Okay. Let's move on to verse 17, if you don't mind, Christy.
All right.
Genesis 18, verse 18.
18 or 17? No, 17. 18, 17. Okay. Step 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham... Oh.
So who's starting the conversation? Who's telling who about what's coming up to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah?
The Lord
is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we read in the Quran. Listen to the Quran. Tell me, guys, what are you doing? Where are you going?
Okay.
57, verse 57, back to the Quran.
All right, back to the Quran. He said, what did you come here for, O messengers? They said, surely we are sent to a criminal people, except the family of Lot, of whom we will surely deliver them all, except his woman, wife. We have decided that she will be of those who will be left behind. So when the messenger came to the family of Lot, he said, surely you are an unknown people. They said, yet we bring to you in what they were doubting in, and we bring to you with the truth, and surely we are truthful. So walk with your family a part of the night and follow their rear, and let none of you turn around and go where you are commanded. And this command we gave him because of the last of those will be cut off in the morning. And the inhabitants of the city came rejoicing. He said, surely those are my guests. Do not disgrace me and fear Allah and do not shame me. They said, have we not forbidden you to any of the world? He said, those are my daughters. If you were doing by your life, surely they are blinded in their drunkenness. So the shout seized them at the time of sunrise. So we made it its bottom. And we rained on them rocks of baked clay. Surely in this there are signs for those who ponder. And surely it is an existing road. Surely in this are signs to the believers.
That's it, Chrissy. That's it. They're going to move to another story. That's all what we learned about the guest of Abraham and what happened to Lot. But I'm sorry. Believe me, my friends, all those who are listening to me right now, when you read the story of Lot in the Quran, because you have the true information, the full information about Abraham in the Bible, you can understand what Muhammad is trying to say. But can you imagine? Take out of your head all the knowledge you know about Lot and his wife and the people of the city. Take all this out, what you know from the Bible, and read these words again. You find out you're reading a mystery. You have no clue who is this Lot and who is his daughters and who is his wife and why she will become a pillar of salt. None of this information is in the Quran, but I know. We sometimes, when we read the Quran and we have the true account of the biblical story which Muhammad put in the Quran. Yeah, that's exactly what the Bible said. No, it's not. Because you're missing all the information which you know from the Bible, but Muslims do not know it.
No. Yeah, because they exactly don't have the Bible.
Yeah. If we go to Genesis account, we will read any of these verses, any of these words in the true account in the Bible. Of course not. Let's read together. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Let's continue, beginning from verse 17 again, and read the true biblical account of Abraham from the Bible.
Okay. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place.
Now we have a question, Christy. Why Muhammad did not mention that true account, the conversation between Abraham and the Lord, which is obviously, we're talking about capital L-O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is God Almighty, Jesus Christ, whom Abraham saw and rejoiced to see in way, 1800 years before Christ came in the flesh. So now my question is this, why Muhammad did not mention the story? Was he not familiar with that story?
It doesn't seem like it.
No, he's
maybe
very familiar
with
that story.
Maybe he used it somewhere else.
Oh, you got it, Christy.
Yeah.
He picked up the same story and put it for himself when he himself talked to Allah in the seven heavens. You see the beauty of Muhammad and the beauty of the Quran, which is a great evidence that the Quran is not a revelation from God. The biblical account, the conversation between Abraham and the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is actually what Muhammad stated in the hadith concerning Quran chapter 17, verse 1. And boy, oh boy, and the Muslim, the Palestinian in Israel, and the Muslim of the whole world in England, in America, everywhere else, are fighting to take that land back. Why? Because it is a land given by Allah to Muhammad. It's where Muhammad prayed when he tied his mule in one of the pillars of the Temple of Solomon, which was not there because it was destroyed for over 500 years. Why in the world Muslim really, really holding tight to that piece of property, this land? And why do you want to take Jerusalem? Because of a lie given by Muhammad concerning the conversation which Allah have with Muhammad when Muhammad was ascended to the seven heavens about the 50 prayers or 45 or 40 or 35 or 30 or 25 or 20 or 15 or 10 or 5 prayers. Can you imagine? Muhammad did not mention the story about Abraham and Allah because he took it upon himself to make it the conversation between himself and Allah, prayers which we ended with 5 prayers. Wow and wow and wow. Now, let's move on to Genesis 9 because I really want to get to what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when we compare it to the grab again, the hogwash of Muhammad, and that's what we read in the Quran. So I want to go to see what happened now when the two angels arrived into Sodom. Was it morning? Was it afternoon? Was it evening? Where Lot was sitting? And what did he do when he saw them? How he welcomed them to his place? And what did the people of the city did? And how in the world were Lot was able to deliver himself with his two daughters and his wife out of this crisis coming to these, actually, by the way, there are 5 cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, 5 cities, not just one. So let's read that count, and I think we have enough time to do it. So, Christy, move on, read it. I'm not going to interrupt you until we get to the end of the story.
Okay. And there came two angels to Sodom at eve, that's evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, in turn, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them."
By the way, knowing them is not saying hello to them. Knowing them is sexual intimacy. They want to have sex. The men of the city would like to have sex with these two men who are now Lot's guests. Go ahead.
And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And he said...
Now, Christy, before we get there, I want to go back to the Quran. I want to go back to the Quran. Now, read me what we read in Quran chapter 15. I want to read again, beginning from verse 67 all the way to 71.
All right. And the inhabitants of the city came rejoicing. He said, "Surely those are my guests, so do not disgrace me."
What is wrong? What is wrong for the men of the city or the inhabitant of the city? By the way, inhabitant does not have to be just men and women, to rejoice. I mean, when you read the poetry of the Quran, there's nothing wrong about rejoicing. And why Allah says, "Don't disgrace me," they're rejoicing. They're happy. They may be singing, and they may be clapping their hands. They may be praising Allah. They may be are going to have a big party. They're going to dance all night. What is wrong about them rejoicing?
I know.
Why
crazy.
He said, don't embarrass me or don't disgrace me? Keep going, next verse.
And fear Allah and do not shame me.
Why in the world they're going to not fear Allah by rejoicing? Why in the world do they shame Lot by rejoicing? Keep going.
They said, "Have we not forbidden you to any of the worlds?"
What does it have to do with what he's saying? How many chapter or how many verse are we missing between 69 and 70? And look how he answers that. Look how Lot is going to answer this. What did he say in verse 71?
He said, "Those are my daughters. If you were doing..."
Doing what?
No.
I mean, I think it's not funny. It's a sorrowful for idiot Muslims to believe that the Quran is a true revelation. Here's my daughter, if you're doing. Take them for a walk, take them for a ride, kill them, eat their flesh, sell them, have sex with them, use them as prostitutes. I mean, what are they going to do with those two daughters? And what's so amazing when you read in my book, Christy, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Error, they will tell you he never meant his own two daughters. He's asking the people of the city, the men of the city, to have sex with their own wives, because all the prophets, all the women in the city are considered the daughters of Prophet Lot. The Prophet Lot is a prophet, and all the girls and all the women in the city are his daughters. So he tells them, "Don't have sex with my men, but have sex with your own wives." Really? Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
Let's go back to the Bible, Christy. Let's go back to the Bible. Okay? So we know the story. They want to have sex with these two men. They couldn't figure this on the Quran. They were just rejoicing. Every time somebody rejoices, does that mean he want to have sex with men? Muhammad was very poor in choosing the words to tell the story. And why Lot gave his two daughters to the men of the city, that they know them, they have sex with them, not with his guests. So the culture setting in these days, somebody under your roof, you will protect them with your life, with your family's life. Next verse.
Okay.
Verse 19. Yes, ma'am.
And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door.
We have not read that in the Quran.
That's right.
So how these two angels delivered Lot? Listen carefully in verse 10 and following, okay?
"But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were out the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door."
why we did not read that? Why Allah did not mention that in the Quran?
Because he doesn't know. Allah doesn't know.
Allah did not know. I'm sorry. Allah and Muhammad and Jibreel did not know. But go ahead.
They didn't. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord, being merciful unto them, they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, do not look behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither. I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of this city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord.
Wait a minute. It was not rocks? Well, let me go back to the Quran. I want to make sure that it is we are reading right. How Allah punished the people of Sodom in the Quran in verse 74. What did Allah send on them?
He said, so we make it on its bottom and rained on them rocks of baked clay.
Really?
That's what it says.
Well, how in the world Muhammad come up with this punishment? Allah turned it upside down and threw rocks made out of clay on top of it. Everybody get a big rock, hit him in his head, and he's dead.
Christy, you know
that archaeology, the digging in the ground, now we find the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And now we know how it was destroyed with sulfur. Big pieces of sulfur. Not the clay made out of rocks. Rocks made out of clay.
Yeah. Fire and brimstone.
Yes. So what happened to
his
wife? 26.
Well, I got to read 25, right?
Oh, go ahead.
And he overthrew those city and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground.
You know that is where Muhammad said we put it upside down by using the word overthrew the cities?
Oh, he thought overthrow meant turn it upside down.
Upside down. You put the head on the bottom and the bottom up.
Oh, wow.
Somebody read the Bible, Christy. Somebody helped Muhammad but that somebody could not remember exactly the story. Maybe Muhammad heard the story from some Jewish people or some Christian people, and 10 years later he made the poetry of the Quran. Here we come up with the hogwash of Allah, the funny, foolish revelation of the Quran.
Wow. Okay, I got to read this last verse because we're running out of time. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
That is the true biblical account to what happened to Lot and what happened to Abraham in Genesis concerning the guest of Abraham and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, five cities to be exactly. How in the world you can tell me that the Bible is a corrupt book when all the information is written there in detail? You don't know, Christy, when you read the Bible, in the book, in the Genesis account, you do not need any interpreters. You do not need any disagreement among Christian theologian or Jewish theologian, because it's just a biblical account, biblical story. Anybody can speak English or can read Arabic, can read it in the Bible, either language, and he will understand it very well. But when you read the Quran, you have no clue. Not only the Quran does not make any sense, it's missing information, but it doesn't, it's full of errors. Full of errors. There's not a page in the Quran, Christy Johnson, does not have an error. And you call the Quran a revelation of God? I'm sorry. This is nonsense whatsoever. Well, I think our time is up, Christy. We're not going to have enough time to move to another verse. It is 55 after the hour. And 56, actually. So I will let you have the last minute. See how nice I am?
You are so nice. Well, I just want to emphasize to everybody, while you're enjoying this three-day weekend for many people, please remember, you know, the flag outside of my apartment complex is flying at half-staff. I was so proud to see that. So for those of you who have opportunity to visit a cemetery or wear a poppy, that also is a sign of remembrance for our fallen warriors. So anyway, God bless everybody. Thank you, Usama, and thanks everybody
God
for listening.
You, thanks everybody. I appreciate you all. Keep me in your prayer. Next week I will be in Missouri. I believe I will be in Branson, Missouri. Lord is willing. God bless you all. You have a wonderful good night, and keep me in your prayers. The Lord keep me safe on the road as I be traveling. And I look forward to see you next Saturday. If you go to church tomorrow, keep me in your prayer as well. God bless you all. Appreciate you. Good night.
Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.